Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again, after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Hey, I know! I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan!
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we will watch three episodes of the Pokemon anime and discussing them from our now adult perspectives. And because we're adults, of course, this podcast is rated M for mature, but it's also rated I for immature. And I'm your host, Jacob, and I'm here with my co-host, Austin.
Now it's time to play.
It is time to play. Speaking of playing, our another co-host is here with us, and her name is Alex. Say hello, Alex.
Hello, Alex.
Right on.
I'm playing the part of the possessed doll.
Oh, God. Okay, I hated her.
Jumping ahead, I love it.
I'm already at maximum audio levels. Okay.
Yeah, we have some doozies to talk about this episode. Before we jump onto that, let's go into our what have we been doing this past week and a half, or since the last time we recorded.
Jacob, I feel like you're going to have the most exciting things to share with us this week.
Oh, I'm so glad you let me go first. So I just recently got back from vacation, and it was a blast. We went to, I'm not going to say the place, but we went to a beach location.
Porta Vista.
Where we got laid. You know what I'm talking about? Some islands far, far out west.
The Alola region.
The Alola region, exactly. No. We didn't go that far. We just went to a local kind of near us beach.
The Orange Islands, then.
Yes, the Orange Islands, exactly. And I forgot, I'm from like a coastal area originally. I forgot how much fun the beach is. Have you guys, do you love the beach? Can I get some beach love starting off here?
Austin.
I'm not a beach person.
You're not a beach person.
I'm an indoors air-conditioned person.
I feel like I like the idea of the beach, but then I get there and it's too much. Like, there's sand and it's hot and there's a lot of people and it's just, it.
Well, I guess I'm the only beach advocate here, but I love the beach. And have you guys been boogie boarding? You can't tell me boogie boarding is not freaking awesome.
Well,
I'm not going to disagree, but I can't speak from experience.
There's sharks and stuff in the water.
Yeah, there's like the Kraken in there, like
there is. There's crabs and jellyfish, and it's dangerous in the beach.
I thought originally in my head this was going to be like, oh yeah, we all love the beach. This is fun. Yeah, we go boogie boarding, but I'm getting a lot of animosity here.
Never doubt the cynicism of me and Alex.
My bad. So I had to go to the beach and get some sunshine because I'm not getting it here. Jesus.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're
Jacob.
Good. You're good. Not everybody's
He's
a beach
the only
lover.
One getting his recommended vitamin D.
I do need vitamin D. I had a prescription for vitamin D from my doctor recently.
Really?
I think a lot of people have because of COVID.
You go on walks all the time, though, outside.
Well, now I do.
Go and just stand out there and just, like, look up and put your face towards the sun and just soak up the rays for a second.
I'm the kind of person who emerges from my hobbit hole occasionally, and, like, I can feel the sunbeam hit my skin, and I, like, bask in it for a brief moment, and I'm like, oh, this is what it's like to be a person. And then within 20 seconds, I get hot, and I'm like, forget this, and I go back inside.
Oh, well, that's understandable.
That's accurate.
I guess that's understandable.
Sorry, Jacob. What else happened to your vacation? What else
Well, we just went to, like a little zoo that they had there. And we had this really nice restaurant the first night there. We went with some friends of ours, and we all got together and ate a nice restaurant and just enjoyed the beach.
I was going to ask, what the food is always the best part. Well, one of the best parts of vacation.
Oh, yeah, that was a great point. We had this, like, authentic, like, Cuban restaurant.
Ooh.
And I had the best Cuban sandwich I've ever had in my life. Like, you two would even go out in the sun to get this Cuban sandwich. That's how good it was. Okay. Well, anyway, that was basically my vacation. But that did actually, I was going to lead me to my next topic. So, how do y'all like vacation? Apparently, you are more of an indoor person. Or do y'all vacation? Do you partake in the leisure activities?
You can have, okay, I feel personally attacked because I feel like you can have a vacation inside. You can go to an indoorsy type place and have a vacation.
Give me an example.
Well, when you go somewhere and you're at the hotel, that's inside.
And you just never leave. You leave where you're at to go to a place to never leave.
Yep.
I respect it. Respect it.
Or you can go, like, to somewhere cold.
Yeah, I'm talking about anywhere.
Wintertime vacation.
Yeah, climate and ecosystem's not, like, a factor here. I'm talking just, like, cold is fine. Like, what would you do, though? Like, besides just, what would be, like, your dream vacation?
I've always wanted to try skiing, but I know better because I know myself, and I know I will break someone else's leg.
Or your own leg.
No, someone else's leg. You know about the story of me roller skating that one time.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The slow motion descent into disaster.
Like, Jacob, do you know the story?
No, I've never heard that story.
So I'm with...
It's a doozy.
I'm with Leslie, right? I'm with Leslie. We're some people on the roller skating rink. Now, I'm not a roller skating person. I'm not much of an anything person.
Oh, my God. Pokemon person.
As loath as I am to admit it, yes, a Pokemon person. But I'm definitely not a roller skating person, and I'm definitely not an ice skating person. But regardless. So I can move on the roller skates very slowly around the ring. So I'm able to stay upright, but I'm not going very fast. I'm just kind of letting momentum guide me. So I'm going along. I'm with someone, I can't remember who. And we see a crowd of people in front of us, and they are standing in a line of five people from the edge of the rink inwards. And I say to these people, "People, you need to move. I can't stop." And they all look at me like I'm a lunatic as I'm slowly coming over them at like 0.02 miles per hour. And I'm like, "You need to move. You need to leave. You need to move. You're going to come down." And they're just continuing to stare at me as I, like, my mass slowly gets larger on the horizon for probably a full minute of this happening. And they don't move. So what happens is I can't stop. I'm just moving forward. So I kind of, like, put my arms up in fear, and I'm trying to, like, maneuver around them, and I can't do it in time. So instead, I kind of do like a roller derby knocking someone down. I hit up the girl on the outmost, so closest to the center of the rink. And she grabs her friend, who grabs their friend, who grabs their friend, who grabs their friend. They all tumble to the ground. This is happening in slow motion as I am passing them very, very, very slowly. And I look over my shoulder like, "I told you!" And according to Leslie, the one girl I hit looked at me very scandalized and upset. But that's her fault. I didn't fall. I told her, "Get out of the way. Why are you standing still and forming a barrier on the roller skating rink? You gotta go."
They had advanced warning.
They had plenty of advanced warning.
They had a plentiful opportunity to move out of the way.
I was doing smoke signals. I was doing SOS.
That reminds me of the scene in Austin Powers when he's on like the little... like flattener or whatever it is, like the Zamboni kind of looking thing, and that guy's at like the other end of the hall, and it's only moving a mile an hour, and he's like, "Move!" Like shouting all the way down the hall, and the guy he still runs over the guy.
What is my life without an Austin Powers movie?
Shagadelic.
I mean, you have the same name and everything.
Yeah, I never heard that one before. So that's my idea of a vacation.
Running into people at the roller rink.
Nice. Well, that's cool. That was basically my week, and thanks for y'all giving your insight into what your ideal vacation would be. Appreciate it.
We're exciting people.
Yeah, we all are.
Alex, what's your exciting week been?
Well, a little different. The past couple weeks, I've been... I don't know. Austin, you know me. I get very singularly minded on one thing for a while, and then I become, like, obsessed with it. And then all of a sudden, I just abandon it for something completely new. But no, this week it's been Harry Potter. I've been on a Harry Potter kick, so playing the mobile game, but I'm really excited for the Hogwarts Legacy game that supposedly, well, it was supposed to come out this year. I guess it got delayed till next year. But that's okay. I feel like they can take their time because I'm not buying a PlayStation 5 anytime soon, so.
What got you on the Harry Potter kick?
I don't know.
You just
That's a good
popped
question.
up one day.
You know what? I guess so. I had the app downloaded a long time ago, but I haven't played it in like over a year probably. I don't know. Actually, no, I think it was because we were at the Walmart, Austin, and then I was thinking about buying the DVDs, on
No, you
Blu-ray.
were already on the kick before we went to
Oh,
Walmart.
okay. See, I don't remember. I don't know what got me started on it originally then.
I've been on one too lately. I've watched all the Harry Potter movies. And then I watched all the Star Wars movies, and I was on a Star Wars kick, obviously. We're talking about that a lot. But then after watching the Star Wars movies, my mind started circulating, like, oh, Star Wars was pretty cool. Then I got thinking, God, Harry Potter's just a lot better. It's just a lot better story.
It's a lot different, I guess.
I mean, it's movies and stuff go, I think Harry Potter wins. I think Star Wars has a bunch of cooler stuff going for it, but like as far as like a cohesive story, I gotta give it to Harry Potter.
I guess I'm gonna have to edit all that out.
Just to
What,
keep
so
our
you
audience.
alienate
Not really.
half of
Not
our
really.
listening
Split the
audience?
audience. No, they're both cool. I just think one's a better story.
That's a good point.
Is this where we note that we are pro trans rights, anti JK Rowling?
You can like the material, but not have to like the creator.
Yes, but we're still gonna put that asterisk in there.
Yes, it's true. But, you know, also, we're of the age, like, we grew up with Harry Potter. It's been very prevalent for a big part of our lives. Maybe our next podcast can be after we do the Star Wars one and all the other million ones we have, we can do a Harry Potter one. Get ready.
Jacob, what podcast are you going to do next?
You talking about me?
Yeah.
Can I be a part of the Harry Potter
Okay. I'll be on my Fantastic Beasts podcast for that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Austin, we all know that's your favorite.
Fantastic least. Am I right?
Oh.
Am I right?
Okay, full transparency, I have not actually seen the Fantastic Beasts movies, so I can't pass judgment. And I really like how, sorry, side note, I like that Warner Brothers was like, yeah, the Hogwarts Legacy game, that's completely separate from J.K.
Yeah,
Rowling.
immediately,
Just so
like
everyone
before
knows.
the words left her mouth, Warner Brothers was like, "She's not talk. We're not with her."
They slap that shit down so fast. They're like, no, this is completely separate.
Yeah.
Buy our game. We're inclusive.
All right,
I'm
Austin.
excited for it. Anyway.
Thank you for sharing your week, Alex. I think we get on to
Oh, you're
someone who I
welcome.
know has just been having an exciting time this past week and a half. Austin, what?
Rude.
I know. I feel offended
No,
now. Okay.
I'm not calling, I'm being serious. Austin always has a cool story to tell.
I'm glad I apparently don't. Okay,
Like I
anyway.
said, Austin always has a good story to tell.
I actually don't have a good story to tell. I've been playing Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney.
Ooh, talk more about that. And the clown lady with the wiener balloon.
What the
Yeah, the clown lady with the wiener balloon. Also, her boobs are balloons.
I've never played this game before. When those words left Alex's mouth, I
Well,
was
are you
like, "What?"
interested
Yeah,
now?
and now I'm really.
There's a cl okay. So what? Sorry, Austin. I just have to jump in. Based on what the limited knowledge I have of this game from the two times I've watched Austin both play this, first it was a weird satanic ritual on a mountainside or something, and then this second part was a clown lady with a wiener balloon.
I
So.
want a whole section of the podcast dedicated to where Alex just explains stuff because it's the funniest thing ever.
That's I it's two separate games at this point. I'm like, how do you go from, I don't know.
So
I
it's a
just don't
woman
know.
with inflated boobs, with, I guess, balloons.
Okay. I'll start from the beginning. I've been playing Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney because, Jacob, I know this pisses you off, but I have a bad habit of buying video games and then never finishing them. So I've played the entire Ace Attorney franchise that's been released in English up to this point, except for the most recent release, Spirit of Justice. And I can get into why I wasn't interested in it, but it boils down to I'm not a fan when the games get a bit too wackadoo. They get a bit too silly and disconnected from reality. Like they're anime as hell. They're already very silly and disconnected from reality. But I kind of feel like there's a fine line where they overdo it.
Easily.
And some of them overdo it, and I kind of think this one does. And by the way, for people who've played the game, I'm four cases in. So like I've done the majority of it, I think, at this point. So I have a pretty It's not one of my favorites in the series. But anyway, I'm playing it now because they announced the Switch release of Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, which I am looking forward to. And I was like, I gotta finish this one I downloaded and never finished. And so I played it, and there was a clown lady, and she had her balloon, and she was treating it like a penis that she was masturbating. It was a bit much.
Ooh. And it even had the squeaking noises, too.
No! Oh my god.
So, Alex has never played any of these games, and she comes on over to my apartment before we go to Walmart, because we're classy like that, and there's the clown lady.
Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. Oh my god. It was awful. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Anyway, that's my week. I solved a bunch of murders. It was great.
Look at you being a contribution to society.
I'm a lawyer.
Forget, like, beach vacations and Harry Potter and all that. Austin, by far, always consistently the most interesting.
Yeah, sit inside and play a 6-year-old video game for the 3DS. That's what you need to do.
Yep.
But anyway, I guess that was our weeks. So, I gotta bring this up one before we get started. It is Pokemon related. Did you watch the Floyd Mayweather, was it Logan Paul fight?
Oh my god.
Was that the fight or whatever?
I guess that's very tangentially Pokemon related.
No, but did you see what he walked... Is Logan Paul, right? Not Jake Paul?
It was Logan.
Did you see what he walked to the ring with around his neck?
The Charizard
card. The $1 million Charizard card.
I'm vaguely aware of these events.
He wore it for a shield to protect him against Mayweather's right hook. And by God, it almost worked.
Did you know that Mayweather's a billionaire?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize he had $1.2 billion net worth. I knew he was super rich.
He's super rich.
Must be nice.
He's probably one of the best defensive boxers of all time. Not to get too much into sports, but as far as like defensive and maneuverability goes, Floyd hands down.
Jacob, I thought you were really into sports.
I really am, but I don't want to like take over because I could go on a long...
No, please. No. Go on.
No.
I do it all the time.
That was basically it because I don't have like a... Boxing goes... I mainly know like heavyweights like Tyson... Ali, the classic boxing. Mayweather's just like the only like, and Tyson too. I follow a little bit of Tyson. He's a heavyweight that's also really good. But like Mayweather's the only one that I've kind of followed throughout his career. And I know he's had some like that comes with some baggage along the way. But like boxer related, just him as strictly as a boxer, he's probably phenomenal. And just, like I said, he's really good defensive boxer. And that just summarizes it. So we lost our Star Wars and Harry Potter audience, but we gained some new sports. People here. That's what we're going for.
Lordy. By the way, if you're on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review. We need it. Yeah. We've fallen off the charts.
Give us a 5-star.
If you find us even vaguely entertaining...
So with our weeks being wrapped up, then we move on to our episode challenge, 30-second summary challenge.
Oh boy.
Yeah, this is going to be hard to do this week.
All the episodes run together. Yeah. It's, oh god.
Well, that's the thing I wanted to discuss. Did we want to space out the summaries?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay.
So like...
If you all agree.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Let me get the randomizer pulled up. I only got to put in 3 names this week. Randomize. Oh, crap. I got the first episode.
And then, good luck.
I know. Godly. Then it's Austin and Alex. Oh, jeez almighty.
Okay.
All right, so the episode I'm going to be doing is called Abra and the Psychic Showdown. So whenever you're ready, time me.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Oh, God. So Ash and Misty and Brock get lost. They find going to town, and Team Rocket tricks them, tries to... keeps them in a room, and they finally get out because this little girl comes and saves them. It looks like the poltergeist, but this random guy shows up and he looks like Clint, but he's not important. He'll get important later. And so Ash goes to battle Sabrina turns them into dolls, where they find out that everything in that little dollhouse is fake, and Ash escapes due to Clint or Clint 2.0, and they gotta
time,
go
time 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 this is terrible. Who the hell is Clint?
Oh my god.
It was I thought that the guy who I didn't know was revealed later kind of looked like Clint.
So, you mean? Clint. You mean? Yep. Oh my god!
That was the episode. Ash leaves to okay. Was it Lavender Town to get a ghost?
That's what Clint's advice is. He kinda, we're gonna call him that now.
He kind of looks like Clint, though, doesn't he? Then that you guys get that vibe.
Brock, that is Flint.
Oh, Flint! You said Clint.
But Sabrina's dad is now named Clint.
Okay, I like Clint. Yeah, that's the reason why I named Clint, because he reminded me of Flint.
Oh my god!
So I can't remember what happened.
Okay.
I put like. Okay, so what I try to do is to make the episode a little shorter. I try to keep like a more like smaller, compact list of notes, and that betrayed me.
I think that caused more confusion.
It did. It backfired big time.
Oh, confusion.
Look at Kadabra, you sticking to the theme.
All right, Austin, your turn. No, we're talking about the episode first, right? Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. Okay, let's clarify. We got some feedback that it might be better if the episode summaries are littered throughout.
Okay.
As we go. Sequentially, mm-hmm. So let's experiment and see how it goes.
Okay.
Constructive feedback.
My first question was, we start with Sabrina
in
a dark room. She's telepathically watching the twerps. Why?
She knows they're coming.
Because.
How does she know they're coming?
Because she can read psychic. Ash's mind. Ash.
Is she just sitting there all day being like, where's my next challenger at?
Clint says so.
Okay. Oh, does he really?
Yeah, he says she just sits there all day. She hasn't.
Sorry, I just critique without paying attention.
Yeah, but she knows she can feel like Ash's aura.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Don't use that
Pump
word.
Pump the brakes there. We're skipping way ahead.
Lucario shows up.
Oh God, could you imagine?
I think Lucario could beat Sabrina. He has the power of popularity on his side.
Ugh! Thank God they didn't invent Lucario until many years later.
I think we just lost all of our Lucario listeners.
I'm not sorry either.
Sorry, not sorry. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make a point of, I think it's an awfully convenient thing that Butterfree left us in the last episode.
That is very true.
Just saying. Oh, bug types.
Awfully inconvenient.
Yeah, well, it is inconvenient for Ash. Convenient for the writers, but...
Yeah, they had to fill 3 episode slots, and Butterfree leaving just opened up a whole avenue of ideas they could take.
That sleep powder would have come in handy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Abra was already asleep.
Well, Kadabra, you know, later.
Fair enough.
We're talking about, like, Sabrina. She obviously is some type of, like, cultish leader.
Right.
Okay. She has, like, these followers.
Yeah, those people who live in that room and we never see again.
That was weird.
Okay, for 1 second, I forgot completely about those people, and I'm sitting here thinking, what cult? It was just her and her weird doll.
No, you had every right to forget about the cult, because... Apparently they just disappear. Like, I guess she gets fed up with them and turns them into dolls, and then the little girl kills them.
The guy with the mask on his face, which...
Who was that?
He lost his... I looked it up, and he lost his lips and, like, nose, and that's why he was wearing
the mask. No, you did not look
Sabrina...
No, you did not. Sabrina, no, you did not.
Sabrina, Sabrina just went... It was, like, gone.
Why? Okay, I do want to know why he was the only one wearing a mask. Like, what...
He had COVID.
That was so weird.
I mean, it seemed appropriate for the time currently.
What is... Well, yeah.
He but probably... that was 20 years ago.
He probably shat his pants, too. How hard he was straining to bend that spoon. He was probably like, ah!
He's going to give himself a hernia anyway.
I mean, all those psychic people sucked, because all those people in the psychic room, like, one lady managed to bend the spoon a little bit, and the other person was like... unable to identify the cards.
Was he like, it's in a circle, and he's like, it's a star or something.
I love those people. They were great. The delivery of those lines. A circle. A star.
I do feel kind of bad for them. I mean, they were trying. That one lady did seem to have some ability, so.
Does Sabrina teach them this stuff, though? Or do they just see her do it, and they just show up and, like, try to do it themselves?
Who are these people? Where did they come from? I guess... This is a psychic-type gym, so they all come to hone their psychic abilities. Yeah, I don't think we ever see a person with psychic abilities at any point ever again. Am I wrong?
No,
I
think aside am from I wrong? Sabrina and her mysterious bearded man person.
Clint?
Her father?
Yeah. Well, we don't know that yet.
Spoiler.
Oh, okay.
It's Clint.
Clint.
I like to think that the cultish followers don't actually have any... telekinesis powers. It's like Sabrina just takes pity on them and sees them straining so hard, so she just goes and like bends a spoon and makes them feel good. So maybe
well, she has a busy day of sitting in a dark room.
Maybe
so
she's maybe
she's spying on everyone.
Maybe she's a nice person.
Well, apparently she is a nice person, but we're not there yet.
Oh, yeah. Shh.
Okay, we'll discuss her backstory in more detail later. But for now, this is just a weird setup.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to back up a little bit because I had some points that I wanted to point out about Ash. I was impressed with Ash at the beginning when he was chasing that girl through the... Well, that was stupid. He was chasing some mysterious, weird girl through the dark woods. But I was impressed with his quick thinking where he was falling off the cliff to his death. And then he throws Bulbasaur out and he's like, Bulbasaur, save me. And Bulbasaur does. And that was great. And then I got mad at him because he didn't even thank Bulbasaur for saving his life. But at least he had his wits about him.
That's why you know why Bulbasaur was so quick to give up on him previously. It's like, man, Ash has no respect or, like, thankfulness for Bulbasaur.
I think Ash made a comment, that was a close call, and then didn't even acknowledge Bulbasaur anyway.
He did it.
Like he saved himself, but...
Thank God these vines come out of nowhere for me to grab.
I will say the animation was really good when he was falling. Did y'all notice that?
It was really good, yeah.
There was a couple parts... Sorry, I just had to throw that out there.
No, I forgot.
We should know that Ash is chasing a girl through the forest because it's Sabrina's scary young self who is actually projected to them to trick Ash into running off a cliff.
Yeah, I forgot that.
So,
about that.
Was she trying to kill him?
I don't know what Sabrina... Sabrina's a very confusing individual. Actually, she's a individual between her and her younger self.
She's a die-dad in the Pokemon Force.
She really is.
That's a good point, Alex, though. I think we got, like, a Melanie situation here, where, like, there's no telling how many people fell off that cliff. I mean,
maybe that's why no one's come to investigate the horrible Saffron City gym, in which if you lose a battle, you are forever kidnapped and caught in her psychic town of horrors. Yep.
I was wondering, like, where's the police? Like, there's absolutely no presence of... Aside from the mysterious bearded man, according to the narrator, who we do not yet know is her dad.
Clint.
Like, he's the only one. He's the only one seemingly in this entire town. But aside from the weird cult people, but...
All those people there live out of fear. They're, like, all in some serious fear because they've seen, like... Obviously, like, they've killed people before. Like, it's stated in this, like... in this, like... You know, in these trio of episodes that they have killed people. Or people...
When was that stated?
When, it's something to do with, like, when she says, I don't want... Like, she gets them as dolls. I don't know if it's this episode, but whenever they become dolls. And she goes, oh, I don't want to, have you, like, disappear like my other dolls. Or something like that.
Oh, right.
So, people have died because of them.
I have a theory.
Go for it.
What's that?
As always. And that's why I want to do a Bill situation again.
Oh, boy.
Where I compare Pokemon the series, the anime's interpretation of Saffron City versus the video game. In the video game, can you not get into the town because the guard has a, like, thirsty and you have to give him a bottle of water or something?
Yeah, the tea.
Oh, that's it. And Sylph Company, which was not even mentioned in this episode, has been overrun by Team Rocket. Like, seemingly they've done, like, a takeover of the building, right?
Yes.
And they're holding people hostage. And we kind of got a little bit of that in this, in that the twerps go into Saffron City. The first thing that happens is Team Rocket appears. They've also been laid. And they take them into a skyscraper, push them onto the warp tile, and then baby Sabrina comes and saves them and paralyzes Team Rocket. But are we to assume that Sylph Company and Team Rocket has just staged a takeover of this building and we just don't know anything about this?
Maybe, yes. I did feel that. Was like, okay, they have the warp tile, which they don't even explain.
No.
Like, here's the warp tile, and I'm like, okay.
I'm like, where were they? What building were they in? How do they have access to this control room in this abandoned room?
Why is there a warp tile and a little girl?
That's why I'm thinking they were in Sylph Company. They took over that place. So that's why there's no police presence, because Team Rocket's taken over the town.
Oh, that's a good point.
That is a good
point. And Sabrina's just running wild.
That should have been more a part of the episode.
Let's watch Origins instead.
Yeah, that's an actual anime. That's a really good point.
Maybe they had... Oh, sorry, go ahead,
James. No, I was just saying, that's a really good point. I never thought, like... I'm not connecting the games to these episodes because I know they're so different, and I can't really remember the city's names that well like y'all do, but...
They're colors.
Yeah, I know. That's how stupid it is. But that's all I was saying. You go ahead, Alex.
Oh, no. I was saying maybe at some point they had an idea for a greater plot with Silphco and Team Rocket and maybe even Giovanni at one point, but then they're like, nah, we're just going to turn this into a three-parter with the freaky Sabrina doll thing.
They want to keep the gyms as the main focus.
God, these gyms are horrible places.
Once again, I was thinking of you the whole time, Austin. Yeah. I was like, these unregulated terror traps. These gyms are
out of control.
You've got me so, like, I'm thinking the same thing as you were all the time, Austin. Now, like, these gym leaders don't even know who the next gym leader is. Like, they could show up in, like...
Except for this one.
Yeah. They could... Yes. I just don't understand. What is the pattern here that I don't seem to be recognizing?
Austin, did you also make a note of that where Brock seemingly knows Sabrina? He's like, the leader in this gym is Sabrina.
I guess he knows her name.
But how? She's like a weird...
I don't think he knows that she's like scary cult leader, little girl doll, kidnapper, murderer, mother in the dollhouse.
I was like, how does he know her, like, or at least know of her, but know nothing about... I feel like, I don't know, with all these crazy things going on that somebody somewhere would have mentioned, oh yeah, Sabrina's a lunatic, but no.
But they all die.
I get, well, not Brock. I mean, Brock... It doesn't make sense, okay.
That's what I'm talking about. There's no... I'm trying to figure out a pattern, and I can't, and it's bothering me.
A pattern in what?
Of, like, the gyms, like, they... Like, they obviously don't know who the gym leader is in some cases, but obviously they do the next time. Like, what, is there, like, a kiosk somewhere with this information that we haven't found? That...
Why doesn't Dexter know about this? If he's supposed to be, like, this trainer ID encyclopedia thing, wouldn't he have basic information on just basic things?
Well, he's not a gym leader, Dex.
Well, I don't know. I feel like it would have basic how to be a trainer, general knowledge. Like,
don't go to South Bronx City. I'd also like to think Clint sees several people a day, and he's like, leave the city.
He probably just teleports them out. He probably just like touches them, puts them to sleep, and then puts them in the next city. So he can teleport, obviously, so, you know, go figure.
Okay.
Yes.
Telekinesis. Sabrina and Clint have telekinesis. Should we go through the list of things that telekinesis can do?
In the Pokemon world, everything.
In the Pokemon world, it can do seemingly limitless power. You can tell people where... You can tell people are coming for you miles away. You can teleport, which isn't telekinesis, but whatever. You can bend spoons. You can read minds.
Control Pokemon.
You can control Pokemon psychically. You can shrink people down to a few centimeters tall. You can teleport people while shrinking them and regrowing them to their regular size. You can, later episodes, you can turn them into physical dolls. That are living creatures,
yeah,
but also frozen.
The first time, I don't okay, they wouldn't have ran away if you would have done that the first time.
And you can split yourself into separate entities capable of independent thought and action.
And then your creation or your clone can teleport too. So yeah, it's like
yes, he has all the powers.
It's a dupe.
Oh, and she also at one point compelled Abra to evolve. Out of nowhere,
yeah,
it just evolved. It didn't even. It just changed. It didn't even.
I was like,
what? And her eyes just glowed, and it was a Kadabra. I was like, oh, okay.
That little girl reminded me so much of the one-off Poltergeist. I was like expecting like when like Sabrina's watching them walk into the city for like them to zoom in and her turn and go like, they're here.
There's just something about really small children that's really unnerving,
especially when they know stuff you don't.
Especially this little with this little doll girl with her proportions that were like not the same proportions as regular children,
like
in the
head's
Pokemon
way too
world.
Big and the arms are way too short.
The hands on the Pokeball. She was so scary. I hated her. She made me give me chills.
This is a good Halloween like sit down and watch group of episodes. But anyway, speaking of Pokemon being controlled, so Sabrina kind of cheats, right? Is that cheating?
How?
Like, for her to directly control Kadabra's actions?
I think it's just they were using psychic powers to communicate.
Okay. I think I misunderstood with Clint when Clint was explaining the process, but...
Clint said that, you know, psychic powers or whatever, telekinetic powers aren't something that you really learn, even though these poor people seem to have it in their heads that they can learn this. But he said that you have to be born with them. But, like Austin, you said we don't, do we ever see any other examples of people that have these incredible powers?
Oh, I thought one. Olympia.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Good point.
That's the one example I can think of.
So I guess it's exceedingly rare to for a human being to have this level of power.
I mean, Sabrina and Clint are the only competent psychics in the Kanto region. All these other people just sit in that room
watching
all day
people walk into the city.
I mean, there are psychics, like the character, the trainer class in the games, psychics, but
I guess that's who that's supposed to be.
Oh, another doll that moved by itself. We kind of glossed over the twerps got shrinking down to doll size. They weren't yet dolls, but they were in Sabrina's little doll city. And Ash walks in on a doll taking a bath, and the doll turns around with its own
That was so weird.
I forgot about that. That was freaky.
Oh, that scared me.
So that
I don't
means
like
that
dolls and
that
Annabelle
was one
up
of
in here.
Those like ones that she fully turned. Then right?
Was Sabrina doing that? Presumably she was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So was that an actual person at one point, or was that a toy?
That's what I'm thinking. It was actual person.
I like to hope it's a toy.
Because it didn't look, it looked more doll-like, or Barbie, sort of like, than Brock and
Plastic.
Misty. Yeah. Maybe, I hope it was just a toy.
God knows how many people are in that little dollhouse.
And how many people have not, didn't make it out.
What a nightmare.
Yep. Pikachu gets his butt kicked, though.
Poor thing. And he was perfectly willing to do it, too. He was perfectly willing to battle.
Yep, good for him. He got his fighting spirit. He still has it.
Not the second time.
I can't blame him.
Yeah, I can't blame him either. I'd wimp out too. I'd punk out.
I actually thought the battle was kind of cool. Pikachu like create like it's very contest appeal, like actually.
With the dragon.
Yeah, like Pikachu created like a thunder web over above them, and then Kadabra controlling it into the dragon. That was cool.
That was really cool.
Oh boy, just wait till we get to Sinnoh. Oh, that'll be great. I can't wait.
Let's just skip ahead to contest.
Oh, yeah.
This is a Pokemon the contest.
That's all I had to say about this episode.
Well, they all kind of run together, so...
The later one is more interesting.
So now we're going to do our MVP and LVP for the first episode, Abra and the Psychic Showdown. And for the order, it is going to be... Oh, Austin. Let me see. Jacob. And then Alex.
I don't have an MVP LVP, so I'll do my quote first. my quote was the beginning of the episode when they're, again, lost, before the scary little girl scares them.
Oh, no.
Or rather, scares me.
I think you picked mine. It's okay.
Sorry, Alex. Misty says, your sense of direction is so bad you can't find yourself in a mirror. And Ash's
did we all three pick that?
Yes, oh, no. We did.
We
you
all
crack
three
mirror.
Picked that.
It was the highlight awesome. Of the episode. Damn it. Okay.
That is awesome. I'm glad. That's awesome. I think that's never happened.
We all had
out of the drawing pan first here. We all had the exact same quote.
Okay, so we'll just go with that one for all of us.
There you go. Let's do it that way then. Yep.
Okay, my MVP is going to be the people who don't have psychic powers but are trying so hard, because I just feel bad for them.
Oh.
And my LVP is Sabrina for... being Sabrina.
Fantastic.
All right, and my quote is at the beginning of the episode, and Misty says,
no, do it again. Go through it.
You can't find yourself in a mirror. And that's my quote for the episode. And then my MVP, before we knew anything about him, he seemed like a really cool guy, okay? And I'm talking about Clint, a.k.a. also known as Flint by accident. As of right now, in this episode, he's a pretty cool guy. He saves the twerps from getting obliterated by little Sabrina, I guess we'll call her, the little clone girl. And my LVP is, I think, the little girl Sabrina. For apparently she's killed a lot of people running off that cliff, chasing, thinking they're going to save a little girl, and she just, you know, evaporates into the thin air, so... I think she may have killed some people, so she's my LVP for that reason.
Very good. I guess I do have an honorable mention quote where Ash... Well, I actually have two. Which one should I go with? I guess the part where Misty... Where they're in the warp room or whatever, and Team Rocket is speaking to them through the TV, and Misty's like, oh, their show is pretty boring, and Ash sits there and goes, oh, it'll get canceled pretty soon. I was like, dang, okay, Ash, sick burn. My MVP for this episode was the tragically underappreciated Bulbasaur for saving Ash's life and didn't even get a thank you out of it. Didn't even get acknowledged in any way. Very upsetting. I didn't have an LVP, but maybe Team Rocket for not explaining the warp tile.
That's a good reason. There
you go. Austin brought that up. I was like, I don't know. We got no explanation, so I blame them.
I like it.
All right, I'll do my summary for the next episode. Episode 23, The Tower of Terror. And I'm including Beauty and the Beach in that episode count.
Beauty and the Beach?
I'm including that in the episode count.
It's episode 23.
Get ready. Go.
The Tower of Terror. No, I'm not ready yet.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay, now I'm ready.
Okay, go.
They arrive in Lavender Town where they go to Pokemon Tower, where Team Rocket is busy being menaced by Ghastly Haunter and Gengar. Eventually, the twerps go in with Charmander, but they're all scared out. But Ash goes back in. He discovers that the three ghosts really just love prop comedy, and they accidentally kill him with a chandelier, and they fly around because Ash is now a ghost. But once Misty hears Ash's ghost laughter, she grunts inside, so Ash decides it's time to give it up. And they go back inside, and then in the end, Haunter brings it back to life, and they go back to Saffron City with Haunter in tow.
There you go.
Time.
Good job.
Austin made his own time.
I'm kind of thinking we need to make these longer.
but where's the fun in that?
Yeah, it is kind of it's stupid fun.
That's a whole podcast of stupid fun.
Yeah, this is stupid fun. This is so much fun, really. Yeah, great summary there, Austin.
Yay!
My immediate reaction to this first episode was I get pissed at Brock because they're like, let's hold hands, and 2 seconds later, Brock's like, where'd everybody go? Where'd everybody go?
They really did Brock dirty. I felt bad for him. They would have left him to get lost in the forest.
Wasn't that his idea to hold hands?
Yeah, and they don't even. Oh, God.
And then he gets lost.
Okay, I'm blaming that on Misty, because she was the one in front of him, and she didn't reach out behind her to grab him.
Yeah, poor Brock. I mean, Pikachu was kind of a little jerk, too, because who else would have grabbed onto his tail, and then he just goes and shocks Brock?
I mean, that was like pure instinct. Someone grabs your spinal cord, you go, ah!
Pikachu needs to control himself. I don't know. Have a little bit more composure.
Mm.
I'd like to know where Ash got a Halloween skull mask from his pocket.
Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
Yeah, the moon's actually gradually getting closer to the Pokemon universe.
Oh, jeez.
You just don't see it.
Okay, so Pokemon Tower. Now, in the video game, Lavender Town is a town that includes a weird graveyard tower known as Pokemon Tower, where people go to mourn their Pokemon. In the anime, Pokemon Tower is a spooky-looking building that's an abandoned, seemingly hotel?
Yeah, I was wondering if it was a private residence or a hotel.
Like, no one was there.
They were on vacation. It's like a vacation home.
Why is it called Pokemon Tower?
Did they call it that in the show?
They do.
Show?
They say Pokemon. Brock says, this is Pokemon Tower. It's where ghost Pokemon hang out.
Oh.
He knows everything. All of a sudden, he knows everything. All right.
I also like how it has running electricity. Yeah. So clearly someone owns it still, and it's paying the electric bills.
Or it's a perfect utopian society and there is no power company and nobody has to pay electric bills, but
it's probably some like conservatory or something like that for ghost Pokemon.
Probably it's a sanctuary. They're not supposed to be there.
Yeah, it's a sanctuary. Yes.
A sanctuary with like a room with a TV where they watch
and toys.
TV, human TV.
I really like the ghost.
I do
they
too.
They were really fun.
I think this was easily the best of the three episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, easily. I'm like you, Austin. I love the ghost and the personality they gave him. Because the whole time, like, probably watching as a kid, they hype it up. Like, this place is ridiculous. It's scary. Everyone just, like, goes there and dies. Then you see Gengar, Haunter, and Ghastly sitting on a couch just watching TV. Just chilling in the basement of the tower. It's like, this is great. I love this.
They were like frat bros. It was awesome.
They were frat. It's like a fraternity, exactly. But they don't talk, though. This Ghastly in this episode doesn't talk.
Oh,
I
remember
that.
It's not a weirdly advanced Hell Ghastly best friends with the 2,000-year-old ghost girl.
That is kind of weird we had two Ghastly episodes so close to each other like that.
I just want to point out, like, in these early episodes, I guess ghost Pokemon are, I guess it's just like dragon types, you know, they're trying really hard to make them seem all like mysterious and rare and stuff like that, because when Ash pulls out the Pokedex, Dexter's like, ghost Pokemon are vapor, they're in a vapor form, and their true nature is mysterious, and then that's all the information we get. It's like, why are they so mysterious? They're just ghost Pokemon.
He calls them this episode a gaseous Pokemon.
Gaseous Pokemon.
Yeah, when he reads it on Huntar, he's like, he's a gaseous Pokemon, so.
Austin, you look very deep in thought.
I'm not. I'm just gassy.
Gassy, ha.
Gassy for I'm ghastly. If I hold Dextrup to you, I'm haunted by Haunter. Gaseous... Oh.
I know what I'm haunted by.
I'm dinged up by Gengar.
I don't know about you guys, but I was pretty haunted by that terrible Photoshop job.
Oh my god, the ash faces.
Well, that was the next one, but I mean, there was some terrible Photoshop across these three, but the welcome sign where they were like, or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That was this episode, okay.
The next one was even worse, but...
And they still pull it, of course.
Yeah. Misty's like, wait, don't...
The ghosts have a lot of time on their hands, because presumably they're setting this all up.
And they have infinite time.
That's true.
I mean, they, unlike Ash, this episode, they have infinite time.
I really like to think that this is an infinite loop. Trainers come to Saffron City. If they manage to survive the cliff face, Clint sends them over to the Pokemon Tower, and they all get scared off by Gengar, Haunter, and Ghastly, who are just like, who are all these trainers who just keep on coming into our building and, like, leaving? Why don't they want to play with us?
How deep does Sabrina's powers run? She's just keeping this on loop continuously.
I mean, Clinton did say, is he the one to save Sabrina? Which,
implies that they're more.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Did you like the Brock and Charmander interaction in this episode, Alex?
I don't know. Brock was kind of just yelling at it. I think, I don't know what was up with Ash and Brock and the interactions with the Pokemon these couple episodes, but they didn't appreciate it at all. I think Ash treated Bulbasaur like crap, and then he kind of treated Charmander like crap. No wonder Charmander turned out the way it did.
The Team Rocket parts were great. They were really great in this episode.
They had some really good moments.
For sure. I mean, they're the highlight of every episode.
Are they?
Yeah, they're the comic relief.
This episode, I felt particularly bad for Jessie. Jessie was getting, like...
Oh, yeah, with the hair.
Knocked around all the... She got her face... Okay, to sum up, she got her face scratched by Meowth, who thought that she was a Ghastly. Then Ash threw a Pokeball in her face, smacked her right dead center in the face. And then he tells Charmander to do a flamethrower at what? I don't even know. In a hole in the floor and caught her hair on fire. And I was like, what is going on? Why is Jessie being like terrorized in this episode?
It's the Tower of Terror.
But why her? I felt bad.
Oh, poor Jessie. Poor Jessie. And also poor Ash. Because,
I was kind of anti-Ash this episode.
Yeah, Ash was kind of a
butt. I'm just...
Okay.
He is a butt, but he dies.
Before that, I liked when he realizes Haunter and Gengar are doing, like, a comedy skit for him.
Oh my god, kinda, rude!
He, like,
yes.
Looks the camera like he's in the office, like, and he says, I don't know, they're weird.
Yeah, like, what is this?
And he, like, breaks their feelings, and they get all sour.
I know, and they were the ones, to your point, Jacob, about... I have several questions about that whole thing, but poor Gengar and Ghastly, Ash crapped all over them, and then they were the only ones that were seemingly concerned about him being mortally wounded.
I forget, how did the chandelier fall on Ash and Pikachu? And how did that not kill them? Also, I guess it did.
It did.
It did, yeah.
Hold on. I don't remember, though.
Didn't it, like... Was it... Team Rocket upstairs hit the chandelier, or like fell and hit the top level floor above it and shook it loose or something?
I feel like I looked down at my phone for half a second, I looked up and Ash was dead.
He dies a lot.
I'm telling you, this is all his coma dream.
Yeah, it's his own comatose.
So, Alex, was your question about the dead thing, do all Haunter have the ability to snatch souls out of people's bodies?
That was my exact thing I wrote. I said, ghost types, do they have the power to just detach souls from bodies and turn people into ghosts?
They're like exorcists or something.
Like Haunter, I mean, you're right, he just flies over and grabs his soul out of his body and just flies off with them. I was like, wait, what? So I guess they technically died.
Was that supposed to be a move?
No.
Austin, is there some type of like move, you think? You're the expert here. Is that a move?
Exercise. Exorcise.
Is there a ghost type move where it can pull your soul from your mortal body and fly you around?
Yeah, it's called
town?
Chandelier.
Chandelier.
Flame Chandelier. Ice.
Hey, where's the chandelier in this episode? All right, so they fly around. Ash is horrible to poor Misty.
Yeah.
He seemingly takes his death in stride.
He's happy he's dead.
Yeah, he just flies around. He's like, oh, this is cool. Let me just fly around and fuck with people and then whatever. I guess I should go back. Like, I like how he assumes that he could just go back to his body. He's like, I guess we're done now. Let's just, I'm done. I'm tired. I want to go back.
If their bodies were dead, why would Brock and Misty pull them out and just sit over them being like, Ash, wake up! Wake up! Ash! I'm assuming they were still breathing.
I don't know about that. Misty.
Otherwise, when is the rigor mortis to it?
Misty seemed pretty emotional. I got the feeling she thought they were dead.
Okay.
She was crying.
Misty doesn't know how to take a pulse.
I think any of them did. That's a problem.
Isn't Brock supposed to be like a doctor or something?
Okay, new theory. They didn't actually leave their bodies. They were both in critical condition, having an out-of-body experience. Ash imagined flying all around with the ghost Pokemon. And then when he woke up, the ghost Pokemon were like, well, you're cool anyway.
Does anyone have anything else they want to bring up for this episode?
Ghastly swinging with its little ghost hand, like ghastly purple hands.
Ghastly or Haunter?
Ghastly.
Ghastly had little hands?
Ghastly was on the swing set. By the way, we didn't even mention there was a playground in this
That was weird.
With an automated carousel. Anyway, no, Ghastly, he got on the swing. He made little hands out of his little gas body.
Oh, I missed it.
Back and forth on the swing, but he didn't have any feet to kick with.
Oh, I completely missed that. That's adorable. Interesting.
It's cute. That's my one more note.
And my last note is I Googled it. We were talking about Ash dying, and Ash has died 6 times.
Oh, gosh.
In the anime. Between the anime and the movies.
Is this the first instance?
This is...
Is it the Spearows? Does that technically count?
I don't think that counts.
I think we're getting pretty liberal with the word death, but okay.
Oh my gosh, Austin, if you don't count this as a death, his soul left his body.
This counts him off. It says, in the episode of Tower of Terror, this is the first one, he died. In the movie, the first movie, Mewtwo and Mew attack, and he turns Ash to a rock. And then there's a movie where Ash is frozen in space.
Yeah, but he didn't die. Stretch.
This says he's died. This is the article, not me. And then the Sea Temple, he died. And the Lucario movie, he died.
The Sea Temple.
And in the movie Arceus and the Jewel of Life, Ash and his friends die.
I don't remember that, but I'm not gonna doubt it. I'm gonna fact check this article. I'm sorry,
Jacob. You can. Yeah.
I disagree with this.
This is a Quora thing, so take out a grain of salt.
That sounds like Yahoo answers.
Yahoo answers.
That person's wrong.
go in there and rebuke their statement. Rebuke it.
I have too much going on in my life. I gotta play Ace Attorney.
All right, MVP and LVP time.
Oh, thank God.
It is Alex, Austin, and then me.
I guess I'll do MVP. Mine in this episode was Charmander. Hands down, Charmander. He was so cute. First of all, I mean, I think Ash crapped on him in this episode, but he was trying his best. Ash was pretty much like, Charmander, do something, and use Leer attack. I was like, okay. But he tried so hard. He was making those cute little faces. And then Ash was like, what are you doing, Charmander? So I gave him points for trying something. And then LVP is Ash, because who calls it electric attack? Pikachu electric attack. I was like,
that's your reasoning?
And also, he was a jerk to Gengar and Haunter and Ghastly. They were trying really hard to impress him and be funny, and he was like, this isn't funny.
He also dropped Misty from 60 feet in the air.
Yeah, then he was like, oh, Brock, catch her. Like, what if he dropped her? What if Brock, like, broke his leg or something? Like, who knows? Ash was a jerk.
Ash is a jerk. Ain't gonna work. All right, Austin, you're...
What about Ash's quote? Misty's... Damn it! Alex's quote!
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, Alex, your quote?
Misty's quote. I guess the part where Ash is being mean to the ghost, and he was like, their sense of humor leaves me cold, as they're, like, piling up in the snow...
That was funny. I laughed out loud at them. My MVP, I guess, will be I'm going to give it to Gengar.
Oh.
Because Haunter pissed me off in the next episode, and that affected my opinion.
Retroactively?
So Gengar. because I love the ghost. LVP goes to Dexter. Because he identified the ghost by just saying, "No further information." I'm like, Dexter, you're full of shit. You damn well have more information about them. That's all. My quote was at the very end of the episode when Team Rocket were strapped to the carousel being tortured by Gastly and Gengar. And they say, "Team Rocket's throwing up again."
Oh.
Very well done. So my I'm going to start with my LVP. And that's going to be like Brock and Misty. And I say this because when they're all in with Ash to go to this Tower of Terror, but when it gets time to put up or shut up, they say, "We're not going in," and they kind of push Ash in by himself, and that leads to the scenario we have here. And then my LVP...
Sorry, they were your LVP or MVP?
LVP. They were my least viable players.
Okay.
And then I had to do something to create more time for me to think of an MVP. And my MVP is... I like Gastly this episode. The swing thing, like Austin said, got me. And this Gastly doesn't sound creepy and talk weird like the other one. So I think this Gastly seems a little more stable mentally. So I appreciate that. And my quote is, after Ash does that little, like, puts on that mask thing, whatever, Misty goes, "Oh, you and your boneheaded jokes."
Yeah.
I'm all for the puns, you know. I love it. Four Kids is nailing it with these puns throughout the episode. These episodes. All right, and that turns us to our final episode, 24, Hunter versus Kadabra. Now, Alex, you have the job
summarizing this.
You can't do any worse than I did. Let's put it that way.
These episodes, I feel like these three are weird because they all sort of run together.
And
as one.
Go.
I'm sitting here talking.
The Ghost Pokemon episode really stands out as its own thing. The two Sabrina ones are really mixed up in my brain.
I'm ruminating over here, like, okay, you know, and then Jacob's like, "Okay, go." I'm not ready. Austin, what? I'm sorry, what?
You weren't listening to a word I was saying. I said the Ghost one stands out, and the two Sabrina ones that bookend it, they are really, like, cobbled together in my brain.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't tell you what happens and what, really.
I know, this is why this is hard. I'm trying to, like, drag my feet and stall on this, because I'm trying to remember what... Oh, my God. Okay.
You know what our listeners love listening to is dragging your feet and not talking, and,
My mind is a scary place right now, Austin, okay? I'm trying my best.
You got 8 seconds, Alex.
All right. Wait,
five,
you were timing me this
four,
whole time.
4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay.
Maybe not having all the recaps at the beginning was a bad idea.
Okay, yeah. Our experiment failed. Okay, count me down again. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, in this episode, we're back in Saffron City, where Ash is trying again to beat Sabrina. Team Rocket is there, and Ash tries to get Haunter to fight, but Haunter is being a little jerk and won't. Sabrina turns Brock and Misty into living dolls. That was really terrible. And then Ash ends up winning by making Sabrina laugh. Well, Haunter made Sabrina laugh, so he basically won on a technicality.
And time.
And that's it.
But you can't go wrong with the 30-second challenge. It's your opinion and perspective of the episode.
Okay.
Okay, so proposition to move the three or however many episode recaps to the beginning of the episode. Yay or nay?
Yay.
We can do that. Yay.
Because I feel like...
Email us and tell us what you think.
Yeah, leave a review.
Yeah, how did you like it better?
No, only leave a 5-star review. Yeah, how much you love it, regardless of what we do.
Yeah.
I think we lost the momentum. Like, I think it's better when we all do it. My personal opinion is, when we all have the momentum.
Yeah, there's like more feeding off the next person.
We tried something new.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. So like Alex said, we're back in Saffron City, and...
The narrator says this is the biggest Pokemon showdown of Ash's life. So the narrator is incorrect in that statement.
Little bit of hyperbolic statement.
Okay, for some reason, Ash releases all his starters before they go into the gym.
That was
weird. I was wondering about that. He can only pick one. Why? Okay, whatever.
Like, was he trying to, like, lead an army into Sabrina's gym?
I think he was. It was like an insurrection on the gym.
I don't know. He left out Pidgeotto. once again.
Yep.
But
oh my god, I completely forgot about it too. Whoops.
I forgot he was even Ash. There. Okay. Oh, I see where I messed up. Okay, so in the first episode that we talked about in the notes, I put Clint, but I'm seeing now in episode 24, I put him as Flint. So that's where the mix came for me.
Well, his name's Clint now. We just got to roll with it.
I know, and it's Clint. Sorry, my bad. Clint saves the day again after Ash abandons Brock and Misty after they joined Brock. He plans his big thing. Yeah. So he, like Austin said, he throws out his Pokemon. He's going to triumphantly walk into the gym, take down Sabrina, free the cultist and captors of Sabrina and her whatever she's got going on there.
No, I don't think he gives a shit about any of that. I think he just wants his fucking badge. No,
this is my Ash, okay? This is the Ash. Okay. This is the Ash I want. And this is the Ash I need. So he goes in there, and he's getting ready to battle after planning out this whole thing to save Saffron City and the community from this cultish, evil lead lady. And Hunter's nowhere to be found. Hunter punks out, or...
Shameful.
I don't think they even explain where he went. He just punks out. And then that leaves Ash to punk out. And he runs and leaves Misty and Brock to be turned into cloth.
Yep.
Yep. Is that anyone else got any ideas going on?
Okay, hold on. So Honor leaves to go mess around wherever. Can we assume that one of those times at least was him antagonizing Team Rocket?
I think we saw Hunter in the gym room. Right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We had a shot of it in there.
Yep.
Then when Ash calls it with a megaphone, Haunter, report to the stage, it's totally MIA. And we don't see it again until after we see it attacking Team Rocket.
Yes. So it went off.
I think it just wandered off.
Just left.
To get up to some mischief.
And then that leads to our Clint comes in and saves the day again. And we kind of get a little bit of a backstory of where Clint comes into the picture.
I want to know why Clint can save Ash in the starters, but he can't go in and save the doll people, including his wife.
Can we talk about that for 1 second? Because I had a serious, like, what the F moment when Brock and Misty get shrunk down into doll people. And they're, like, talking with their, like, faceless expressions. That was fucked up. And then, and then it pans over to the mom doll who's just like, hi, guys, I'm here too. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Sabrina's not a bad girl.
And how long has she been there?
Has she been there since Sabrina was a little girl?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. If you look at Clint has like a gray beard kind of thing, you know? Kind of like that.
Yes.
Yeah, and then Sabrina's mom's like, she comes back and she's still young. So apparently if you're in the doll state, if you're in the doll state, you don't age.
Been like that for 15 years.
Oh my god, Jacob, I didn't even consider that, but you're right. Yeah. She looked exactly the same as the old photo.
Yes.
So she was presumably trapped as a doll. Oh my god, okay. That's even more fucked up.
So what is this timeline of child Sabrina loses her mind, destroys their house, their giant house, turns the mother into a doll? When does she become a gym leader? When? What is Clint doing this whole time?
It was in the job description. Must be telekinetic to be.
Must bring your mother as a sacrifice.
Oh my god. So theoretically, she could turn you into a doll and then, like, wake you up 100 years later and you would still be the same age.
That goes back to that list of impossible things that telekinesis can do.
Yeah, that's the big one.
I love how you mentioned the destroying the house too, Austin, because speaking of, like, powers, she just touches it. She just puts her hands up against the wall and it literally explodes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I'm suddenly getting, like, a big, like, Carrie vibe. Have you all ever read or seen that?
Yes!
I know in one, at least the book version, she, like, rains a meteor storm upon the house in her childhood.
Oh my gosh.
And then she rampages through the town, killing everyone.
Yes!
Oh my gosh.
And they kind of, like, they kind of, like, follow her then, right? Like, subject to her will or whatever?
I think so. I think the movie cut all of it out. But,
There's
does
that?
This mean that Sabrina went to high school and someone poured, like, Grumpig blood all over her?
Oh, yeah.
Figured it out. There we go. There's a story.
It's funny you mentioned the Carrie thing, because there's the Carrie thing, and then there's an old episode of The Twilight Zone, where in this it's a little boy, but he is like little Sabrina and has, like, telekinesis.
Right.
And everybody in the town's like, oh, you're so great. You're so great. And if you, like, disagree with him, he turns, like, one guy into a jack-in-the-box. Then he sends one person out into the field to get eaten by crows. It's like, it's...
Damn.
Yeah, it's pretty
I've not seen that, but I've only seen the Simpsons parody of that Twilight
Zone episode. Yeah, yeah. It's the same thing.
Where it's Bart.
Yep. Oh my god. Oh man.
So those are other things in which this concept was done much better than this was.
I don't even have much else to say besides that. That was like the focal point for me.
These are just wild.
Yeah, this
wild,
is
wild, wild, wild.
Let's talk about Team Rocket for 1 second, because I feel like we got some important history lessons from them too.
Okay, I wrote down their entire scene line by line. It's my quote. I call it.
Oh no, Austin! Ah. Okay. I like that we learned that Einstein invented the light bulb. Apparently.
Ah, you're stealing my quote.
I'm sorry.
Okay, we'll try to save it.
I'll leave it. Okay, fine. We'll leave it. Thank we won't you. Discuss.
Do we want to go and jump ahead and talk about how Ash gets another badge?
Yeah, go for
by
it.
By doing nothing.
I mean,
we're only skipping the Team Rocket scene, basically. So let's go on ahead.
You stole it as the quote.
Yeah.
So like,
you can elaborate on it so it doesn't interfere with your quote.
Fine. Let's just do it now.
Okay. I'm sorry, Austin.
Meowth. By the way, what's the secret weapon you've got cooked up this time? James. A deadly weapon that's been perfected over thousands of years. Now we've learned to use its awesome powers. With a flick of this fishing net, we'll round up Pikachu. Meowth. You mean that's your secret weapon? James. It takes a genius to realize a fishing net is the perfect weapon. Jesse. Oh, James, it's the greatest discovery since Einstein invented the light bulb. Jesse and James. Even greater than the chicken who invented the egg. Then a giant egg falls on them. James says, all of us true geniuses know, of course, that it was actually the egg that preceded the chicken. Jesse says, embarrassed, of course, I knew that. I had just forgotten. Meowth says, now it's my brains that are scrambled. Let's skip the egg's explanations.
That was
okay,
wonderful.
Do you have an analysis?
Well done. Well for done, us? Sir.
Well, I am just happy that we learned that the egg came first.
It did come first.
And in this universe, Einstein invented the light bulb.
And Einstein existed.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah.
Apparently he didn't have any impact on gravity laws, though, because Team Rocket falls about 100 stories, and, and they live. So.
Well, he was inventing the light bulb. He didn't have time for his...
theoretical physics.
Yep.
That was all I had to say about that. Yeah. I'm sorry. So back to what you were saying about Ash winning.
Oh, I just... This is kind of like another stupid little way Ash gets a badge, you know?
Yeah, because he's the chosen one and can just skate through life with no hardship whatsoever. You know what?
His friends got turned into dolls. I'm going to consider that a hardship.
But he wasn't his hardship. He wasn't the one turned into a doll and stuffed into some fake dollhouse life.
That's true.
I like
for a walk with Clint.
I like how he even questions it at the end. He's like, you know, I don't know about this, that I won like this. Even he questions.
Yeah, he does that often every time. Like, every time he cheaps out and gets a badge, at least he does go back and be like, I kind of don't feel like I earned this, but everyone insists
that he
takes it.
But he still accepts
it. Yeah.
He's 3 for 4 at this point.
Yeah.
Austin, question for you. What do you know about why it's called the Marsh Badge?
I don't.
You don't know? I don't know. I'm genuinely asking.
I don't know. I know the fan theory is even the English version of these games got screwed up because the Marsh Badge makes more sense for Koga and the Soul Badge makes more sense for Sabrina.
Oh my god, you're right. I wonder if they switched it just like they did Butterfree and Venomoth.
I know the Japanese names, the badges are named colors.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it's the yellow badge?
It's the yellow badge?
I think so.
It makes more sense to me with the badges being colors.
You know what? I didn't even think about that. The Soul Badge and the Marsh Badge. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Fun fact.
So Haunter makes Sabrina laugh with a bomb. And this breaks her out of her living comatose, divided into two bodies, head of space.
How old is she?
It makes her laugh.
How
Who
old
knows?
Is she? Is she like a teenager, like late teens, something?
I have no idea.
No, I was just
early
curious.
Early 20s, maybe? Well, she seems to be the same age as Jesse.
I think she's younger than Jesse, but older than Brock.
Maybe.
17, maybe? I was just trying to get a time frame of how long she's been in control of all these people.
How long has her mom been trapped?
Yeah, that's the main thing, too. Like, a really long time.
It's the talking mother doll saying, Sabrina really is a good daughter. That shit sends a chill up my spine.
Because she's that manipulated into...
I wanted her to, like, when Brock and Misty were put in there to say something like, are you friends of Sabrina's? Or, like, it's scary. It's so freaky. Yeah,
that was freaky.
Okay, wait. I think we missed a critical part of this episode.
I was trying to get to it.
Okay. Please continue.
What critical part are you talking about?
Ash and Clint.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, what critical part are you talking about?
I was talking about Gengar, or Haunter, making Sabrina laugh.
Oh, no, who cares about that part? Oh.
that's an important.
I'm talking about, sorry, Austin, I'm only kidding. Ash being so dense that he cannot make the connection between, he's like, are you her photographer?
And oh, not her father. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, he knows. You took her baby pictures, too?
What is so cryptic about, like, why can't he come out and say, I'm her dad, Sabrina's my daughter, what is stopping him?
He doesn't want Ash to know that he's at fault.
They really did repeat Flint, like, beat for beat, except for in this case, Brock went insane and slaved a town.
I told you. It's Flint 2.0. Clint.
All these fathers need to keep their children
yeah.
controlled.
Everyone has some daddy issues, apparently, in the Pokemon world. Crazy.
Yeah, what's up with the dads in the Pokemon world? Why do they get such a bad rap? Like, what?
They do.
Ash's dad is MIA. Brock's dad is a deadbeat. Clint is a crazy, weirdo, psychic guy. What other dads are just... We don't even know who Misty's dad is.
I love how we all just keep calling him Clint.
Well, what else are we going to call him?
Sabrina's dad.
So funny.
There's just no... Is there... Well, I guess... I was
going
to say...
That's
there,
all the dads.
Well, there's Norman. There's Norman, but even he's not immune. There was a whole episode... Well, I won't even... Okay. I won't even go
Ooh,
there.
Can we talk about adventures where Norman physically attacks his son?
Oh, well, he's not such a good dad then. There's no good dads.
Then he set on fire and dies.
Hmm.
Wait. What?
Yeah.
Norman gets set on fire and dies?
So does Steven.
What?
I do not know of this.
What?
Okay, we'll do adventures at a different time.
Okay.
Wait a minute. You can't just... you're just going to leave us hanging on that? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Okay. I don't really actually know very well from my head.
We'll research it for the next...
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, anyway, these episodes are weird. Sabrina's broken from her spell. Haunter stays there for some reason. The end.
The end.
Well, let's never talk about this ever again.
Yep.
We gotta these are great MVP episodes. I don't know what you're saying.
I actually really did enjoy these episodes, too.
I said these are great. I don't know what you're saying.
Alrighty. You guys ready for the MVP LVP? It's
Go for
Austin, me, Alex.
I don't have MVP LVP. Okay, my quote was the whole Team Rocket spiel I went through. I'm going to say my MVP was Haunter, because he saved everyone through the power of bad prop comedy. My LVP, well, even though I would like to note that Haunter's a little shit, but keep on running away. But my LVP...
He manufactured that whole scenario anyway, but whatever.
My LVP will be Clint for not attempting to rescue his wife and Brock and Misty. But I'm going to headcanon it and say that his power is not advanced enough for him to turn people back into regular people from doll people. And that's why he couldn't do so.
Austin, would you say that Sabrina is the Jean Grey of this universe?
Jean never turned anyone into a doll.
But she's incredibly powerful.
Sabrina's the Onslaught of this universe.
Okay.
Fair enough. My MVP for this episode... was Pikachu for stepping up to the plate again when Ash needed him. Because with Hunter gone, someone had to fight Kadabra. Props to Pikachu for stepping up. My LVP is going to have to be... I'm going to keep it to one person, was James for thinking that the fishnet was some creative, genius idea. I respect him for trying to make something cool that's not, but let's be real here. So he's my LVP. And then my quote... is, I think this is after Hunter disappears, and I think Brock says, the ghost Pokemon got spooked.
God damn it. Ah, Jacob, why?
Sorry.
I was like, okay, Austin went, did his MVP, LVP in the quote. I was like, okay, so far so good. Then you went and did your MVP, LVP. I was like, okay, perfect. Nobody's picked my thing yet. God damn it. Okay, we're so close.
It sucks, doesn't it?
It does suck, and I think I've been, like, last this entire time. Okay, I'm sorry. Was that all the points that you had to make on that?
Yes, sister, you can go.
Okay. Not that I have anything left to say. Never mind. All right, MVP. I picked Jessie. Thank God nobody picked Jessie. She was so practical this episode, and the whole part where they're hanging off the scaffolding, and she's like, if I let go, we're all goners, but if you let go, at least I'll survive. And she has incredible upper body strength for a young lady. She's holding up a grown man and a cat Pokemon. And then LVP, I picked Ash for just being completely dense, thinking that the dad was just some random psychic photographer guy.
In all fairness, Ash is not familiar with the concept of fathers.
Oh, good point.
that is a really good point. I didn't think about that.
Alternatively, Haunter. I mean, he could be LVP. Did anyone pick Haunter? I can't remember.
I did not pick Haunter for LVP.
No, I didn't.
For MVP.
Oh, okay. Well, he also... can have him. He tried to kill Team Rocket, so he was my second least favorite, because he was sitting there trying to make Jessie laugh as they're hanging on for dear life. He knew what he was doing, anyway.
I mean, they already tortured Team Rocket before that.
Exactly! And he practically ripped... Well, he did rip Ash's soul out of his body. I mean, that Haunter's just terrible.
I like to think that the process of ripping Ash's soul out of his body actually saved him, because it reset his body when they went back in.
And it made him lighter, too, for Brock and Missy to pull him out front of that chandelier.
That's true.
Is this the reason why Ash doesn't age? Is because he actually died, and so now does not age?
Oh, I know why Ash doesn't age. Sabrina actually, in this episode, turned him into a doll.
Oh my god.
But this is his brain inside the doll. Like, he's living out this fake life.
Oh my gosh. Could be. Well, I don't have a quote because...
Oh, I'll send you one.
Well, I had three, but you picked the one about the explanation, the Meowth one, and then Jacob picked the ghost Pokemon got spooked, and then... You mentioned the third one earlier, Austin, where Ash was like, well, Haunter, please report to the floor with his bullhorn, but did you send me one? Let's see.
I did.
Oh! This is a good one, thank you. Where Jessie says, I won't crack. The members of Team Rocket have been trained to resist all silliness and be totally serious. That was a good one. I forgot all about that.
Good job.
Thank you, Austin. Yeah. You saved the day. Austin's my MVP. I changed my answer.
Aww.
He's my LVP.
Aww. I actually feel I'm really annoying this episode, so I deserve both.
No, you're not.
No.
Just kidding.
I don't like vacations. I hate the beach.
Don't worry, Austin. I was right there with you, so we were both annoying, I guess.
All right.
Wow. What a trio of episodes.
Classic.
Classic trio of episodes, definitely.
So do we want to go down to two episodes for the next one, see how that goes? Do another experiment?
I gotta close this out, remember?
I know. I'm just saying this for the sake of the viewers so they know which episodes to watch next week.
Oh, okay.
Yes, viewers, let us know what you prefer, our three-episode format that we've been doing or our experimental two-episode format, which we have yet to record.
Yeah.
Like and subscribe.
Next week we'll do the two. Try the two is what we'll call it. We're trying the two.
Are we, like, way out of it today? What's going on?
I'm tired.
I blame Sabrina.
Jacob was partying it up all week long. He doesn't have any energy left for us.
That's
it's almost 9 o'clock.
You need to eat.
And I haven't eaten anything, so that might be probably why.
Cool
I'm
deal.
Feeling a little strange.
Oh my god, do y'all hear that? Do y'all hear that?
Thunder?
No, it's the outro music that's playing right now. Jacob, go!
So thank you all for joining us. As just a quick reminder, if you have any questions or comments, you can email us at outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Twitter at @dryingpanseries. And that concludes this episode. Join us next time as the journey continues.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.